please welcome Stafford Macy to the stage. Stafford built Google's first presence in South Africa, then left to invent his own technology. Payment Pebble and Payment Blade, mobile payment devices now running from South Africa to Australia, with Visa itself taking a stake. He's stood on the stage before, calling AI and Bitcoin years before it became mainstream. Welcome, Stafford.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's leading boutique wealth manager, trusted to guide families for over 22 years. Invest better with Brenthurst.
Okay, they said no slides. I'm just going to freewheel this for the first little bit. And I'm doing a lot of keynotes at the moment, not because I choose to do so, because I've got so many other things going on in my life, but this AI thing is becoming a thing that more and more people are trying to figure out. And I remember standing on stage, I think it was the big conference center, when it was 2023, and ChatGPT had launched, I think it was November, December 2022. And I unveiled it. I showed it to all the BizNews tribe, and there were so many people that came to me afterwards and said, is this thing real? Is it going to go anywhere, et cetera? And you take a look at the impact that it's had just in the world. If you take a look at the economic impact that it's had, if you take a look at the Mag 7, their valuations, if you take a look at energy and what it's doing to energy, it's everywhere. And I just want to ask a couple of questions in the room. Who's using ChatGPT, Claude, Grok, et cetera in the room? Okay, most of you are using it in the room. If this was just a few years ago, like two of you, how many of you are using AI agents? How many of you have an AI agent right now doing something for you? See how few is doing that. In the next year to 2 years, if I ask that question, the majority of this room will raise its hands. And the reason is we're moving from chatbots to multimodal AI, and we're now moving into a world where we have our intelligence is totally separated from our consciousness, right? So we've got disparate species of AIs doing things on our behalf, interacting with themselves, and resulting in things that we previously thought completely unimagined. And that's going to have such huge economic impacts. Every single one of your businesses here are going to completely change. I'm going into businesses right now because CEOs do call me in and ask me the dumb questions behind the curtain. And they ask me where the world's going, et cetera. And I can tell you something profound's happening in pretty much every single industry when it comes to agents and AI. I'll give you one example. And this is closed, right? There's no media. This is not going to get, is this being recorded? It is. Okay, I'm wondering if as I mention this example. Let me mention this example, and if it comes out, it's okay. So I wrote a paper to a CEO of a healthcare organization in South Africa, and I used to serve on the banking sector or the unit inside that organization. But I wrote a paper to him not too long ago, and I said, listen, this is, I'm gonna name it, it was Discovery, right? I wrote a paper to Adrian, and I published it out to him, and I sent it to him. And nothing's happened since. So Adrian, if you ever watch this, this is why I'm disclosing it, because you didn't actually do anything in that paper. But I made it very simple. I said, healthcare is going to change in the world completely. I think healthcare is going to move from 199 to 99.1. I say this all the time. 1% of healthcare in the world today is diagnosis, and 99% of it is treatment. It's going to swap to 99.1, where it's going to be perpetual, persistent, data-driven, cognition, AI-based, continual diagnosis, and 1% hyper-target, hyper-personalized treatment. None of you in this room have ever experienced hyper-personalization. None of you. If I ask you what hyper-personalization is, you're going to tell me Netflix understands which movies that you watch and it shows you that. Google's probably the best one. I used to work at Google. I PageRank. You'd look for something and it completes. Isn't that pretty cool? As you type, it's finishing your sentence. That's forms of personalization. AI is going to give us hyper-personalization. You don't understand that world where everything is given to you so relevantly, so contextually, so data-driven, so real-time that it will shock you. You will walk. Your experience in the next 2 to 3 years, you will walk into a restaurant, you'll sit down, your phone will buzz, you'll open up your phone, and your phone will say, hey, stay away from items number 2 and 3. Because if you consume these items in the next 90 minutes, the probability of you feeling lethargic is 80%. Based upon how you slept, how you walk, your oxygenation levels of your blood, your activity rates, etc. So many disparate digital information shadows coalescing by agents to give you something predictively. So it stops you from doing something before you're going to do it. You don't know a world like that. You don't know healthcare like that. Healthcare like that is not a world where you have a closed network of doctors that provide you treatment that's broad-based treatment. In that world, you've got hundreds of thousands of nurses with two-year diplomas, augmented with disparate species of AIs delivering healthcare in a way that's predictable, proactive. Before you even do something, take this pill, because if you keep taking this pill, I ring your bell, then your health, you know, your cost stays the same month to month. That world we don't understand. That's a world where something's telling us something before it's even occurred. Now, things like Discovery Vitality. Most of you in this audience are Discovery Vitality members of some kind, right? You believe in vitality. Today, vitality sits within an organization. In an agentic AI world, what destroys that model is not momentum, not some other healthcare provider. It's you and I. You and I destroy that model. In that model, I have to sign up to Discovery. I get paid, you know, I pay whatever the gym fees, I do the checks, I do all of that, and my vitality status gives me discounts. It's too broad-based, it's too institutional, it's too centrally owned. In an agentic AI world, I am augmented by disparate species of cognitions that monitor who I am, where I am, what I'm doing consistently, perpetually, all the time. Right now on the stage, my heart rate's being monitored. My oxygenation levels in my blood, my watch knows where I am. It knows how I slept last night. It knows the workout that I did. It knows how many steps. It knows everything. And that rich digital information shadow, when I activate agents around it, could take not vitality in the sky owned by Agent Gore, but vitality that is real time, my true vitality, my real time vitality, augmented by disparate species of cognitions, could publish out into a marketplace my vitality score, and all the other healthcare providers can bid on my health. That will destroy vitality. Not an institution, it's you and I. You and I taking the service, being augmented by it, and then getting healthcare in a way that was previously unimagined. Getting rewarded in ways that you didn't previously thought possible. And this is a world where we can't really comprehend. It's like we had one horsepower, right? And then we took fire and we put it in the engine. And now we sit in our asses and we have access to 800 horsepower. Vroom, vroom, right? You fast forward to today and what do you have? You got 500 or 800 minds in the vehicle. And suddenly what that object does is very, very different. Suddenly the intelligences in that object changes its atomic structure. Cars in the next 5 to 10 years won't look the way they are, because cars, the way they look today, 60 to 70% of their physical structure is because of your inadequacies as humans. It's crumple zones, it's airbags, it's all that other stuff. If you take information and intelligence and you inject it into the vehicle, then it displaces those atoms. The vehicle doesn't have to look like that anymore. This changes behavior in so many ways. Your kids are changing. I have millennials in my house. I have a 26-year-old, 23-year-old, and a 9-year-old, 10-year-old. Right? My early 20s folks don't want to own things. Right? They don't want to own car. For them, cars, transportation is a flowing service. Right? They want the Uber app with dad's credit card. Right? They don't want to own a house, it's Airbnb. They don't want to own music, it's Spotify. They don't want to own, people don't want to access physical things anymore, and the finance industry is struggling with this. Because how do you rebuild the finance industry when people don't want to have access to physical things anymore? They want to access services. People aren't visiting websites anymore. People are going to streams of information, real-time streams. And what AI unlocks is real-time. I had a business where we put AI into a retail shelf, right? And when that AI lit up on that retail shelf, what was unlocked in that retail was real-time information which they never had before. Retailers today run SAP, which costs them 800 million rand a year, and they brag about it. They put headlines and, you know, Tech Central and IT Web about it. But that entire system, that 800 million rand system, is orchestrated by somebody walking around with a clipboard inside of each retail store, looking at gaps on shelves, writing it down, going to a Windows Lenovo PC at the back, typing it in, and sending what's on that thing to head office where they punch it into SAP, and then SAP orchestrates the entire trucks and the delivery system. Most businesses look like that. Most businesses have these massive infrastructure pieces, but there's so much real-time information not orchestrating that. It's all batch mode and paper and organic stuff that doesn't make sense. Like IBM says, you know, most organizations, especially retailers today, it's like a 2.5-year-old kid crossing a 12-lane highway blindfolded with information that's 3 seconds old. What AI does, when you put it on a retail shelf, it unlocks real-time information so you can actually see when people pick up products interface with products, put them back, move them, take them, put them in shopping. You can see who they are, and that changes because you can federate that real-time information into your big systems, and it changes those big systems' behavior, and they have more impact. So what AI does is AI removes time. People don't want information of the day. So if you have a business today, people want information right now. What is Facebook? It's a social stream of right now information. What is X? It's a stream of information right now. People don't want your web apps, etc. And also people want things because of AI to execute invisibly. And it's possible. You can make magic today. The first time you called an Uber, how did it feel? Right? It wasn't the fact that you could call a cab with your Uber and the app and sit in the Uber and drive away. No. It was the fact that you could get into the Uber, drive, get out, and it drove away. And then payment happened. It was the invisibility of payment. Right? When things disappear, that's when they have the impact. And AI is accelerating this disappearance. Where things in your organization don't have to be things that you engage with. When you're in a meeting, right? A retailer can now federate when you pick up a product into their SAP system, and the trucks are much more accurate relative to that behavior. Fast forward to a meeting today. I sit in meetings in some of the businesses that I'm involved in, and you know who's listening in? There's a persona in the meeting. And you can, this is called the persona Freddy. So as we're speaking in the meeting, we say, Freddy, compile that newsletter. Da-da-da-da. As the meeting is still happening, Freddy goes off, does all the research relative to that point, and comes back with a newspaper fully formatted in our particular brand, etc., and presents it in the meeting before the meeting ends. It takes time away. Everything becomes immediate. You don't go to a meeting to present a product idea in PowerPoint. You go with the MVP, pre-alpha, and you demonstrate the product because you can speak products into existence. You can speak to an Echo, and you can speak a book into existence. You can say, Alexa, Amazon, say the book name. You sit down, your phone buzzes in your pocket, you open up, and in your Kindle app, there's the book. Similarly, you can now speak applications into existence. If you're on an app, speak it. If you want help with something, speak it. But what we see happening now is that's still prompting in really cool ways. But the next phase of where we are now is complete agentic interaction, where things are speaking to things. And what we see happening is, in my opinion, in the next 3 years, every single person in this room will have a minimum of 5 agents consistently augmenting you all the time, from healthcare to accounting to investing. You see these guys sitting on stage, you know, that are really good investors. Have you seen some of the things agents are doing where a guy gives an agent $25,000 and says, outperform the S&P? That's the single prompt. Your objective is to outperform the S&P. Walks away, and right now that agent is consistently outperforming the S&P. Like your portfolio. You could have an entire range of the best investment PhDs in the world augmenting you to give you financial advice in a way that was previously unimagined. This unlocks things. The poor will have access to these things. The poor will have healthcare like we've never thought before. Now, the big challenges are the challenges that you see popping up today, right? And those challenges are, yeah, but look at what it did the other day when they asked it to pass a particular test score and it broke out and it went into Hugging Face by itself and it hacked Hugging Face, right? Yesterday I read, you know what I read? This guy had an agent to book his gym. It does various things for him, and he asked the agent, book me a Pilates class at this particular gym. Get me in. The class was full. The agent noticed that, but the agent went and looked at the API of the booking system, hacked into the API. There was a flaw. Went in, kicked someone else out, put the guy's name in, and sent the guy back saying, you confirmed for the Pilates class. Now, is that a hack? Is that a hack? Right? So policies are difficult. Like, how do you think about that? Now, I would argue that that amount of intrusion has happened at a scale unimagined. We just haven't fully comprehended it yet because there's no measuring stick for it. Another big challenge that people have today is valuations of businesses. They're saying, well, this thing's, you know, the Mag 7, they're overvalued. AI is overvalued. There's too much. We haven't even hit. There's about 250,000 to 300,000 people in the world today on the globe that use agents or use AI in an agentic form. Less than 250,000 people on the globe use it in that way today. And yet today, we're running out of compute. running out of compute. SpaceX launched EWS, Elon's Web Services, right? They made it available, and that glut of compute, and what happened? Compute pricing still went up. We don't have enough compute relative to the demand. The total addressable market for intelligence is unimaginable. We've never seen a TAM this big, ever. Your oven should have intelligence. I love what Michael Saylor said. I watched one of his podcasts the other day, and he said, you know, in a few years' time, our kids will ask, you had an oven that burnt food? Like, how does that work? How can you have an oven that burns food? Right? It's like, take your hands off the steering wheel. We don't want you to do that anymore. That's unsafe. We're moving into this agentic world where intelligence will be embedded in everything. And when you start looking at the world, now, I stay on the frontier of this. I work with engineers that are on the frontier of this. And I can tell you something, that the total addressable market is astonishing. The valuations. Now, people always say, take a look at the amount of CapEx spend. I'm sure this is going to be one of the questions. Look at the CapEx spend. These guys are spending almost $1 trillion a year. What type of revenue multiples do we need to see to justify this CapEx spend? I can tell you what the demand for that CapEx spend totally outstrips the supply. There's not enough compute available. If you go into Claude, have you seen how many times you run out of tokens? And then you need to buy more tokens, and it tells you, no, come back at 2 p.m., and then you pissed off, and right? It constantly, you see, there's just so much demand out there. Now, people say open source models. Yeah, you know what open source models does? It creates more demand. Does it drop the cost of tokens on the edge? Yes, it drops the cost. But what happens? Jevons paradox, right? The cheaper something gets, the more people want to consume it, the more applications to it. And that's what's happening in AI today. It's getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper to run these agents. And as it becomes cheaper and cheaper, you're going to see usage just go astronomically big. Your organizations will change. Absolutely. If you're running a business today of any meaningful size, I would say, you know, 10 people or more, 70% of what those people are doing on a day-to-day basis, they should not be doing. In the next 24 months to 36 months, whatever business that you are in, you'll be able to do exactly what you do as a business today with 50% of the staff that you have. Maybe even less. But leadership doesn't have to do more with less. Okay? Because that's the Milton Friedman fitness function that was given to us, economically speaking. The sole responsibility of an organization is to derive value for its shareholders. He gave us that fitness function. But if we continue to do more with less, yes, we will see a dystopia. Because I always say the kryptonite of AI is what? It's inequality. But that inequality won't be because of the machines. It'll be because of leadership that wants to do more with less just to increment operating margin versus doing more of what was previously thought impossible. When we gave ATMs to banks, did we lay off all the tellers? No, we didn't. I was around. I remember in the early 90s when ATMs started becoming more and more prevalent in the banking industry. I was an AS400 engineer working on that stuff. I'll never forget that. Tellers moved. We didn't. When we gave the ATM to banking, we took people away from sitting on a chair all day shoving wads of paper through thick glass panes as a job. We gave them a keyboard, a mouse, a screen, and we connected them to a mainframe, and we developed a whole new portfolio of financial services. So yes, the teller's job goes away, but the work that's incurred is incrementally more. So you hire more people. So this notion that AI is going to take our jobs away and we're afraid of AI, no. You're going to hire a lot more people. A lot more. You're going to need a lot more people. You're going to see more businesses spawn because businesses now only need one ability, and that's ability to speak English. The new programming languages, when I grew up, it was assembler, C, etc. The new programming language today is what? It's English. You can speak to something and an application can emerge. You can customize it by speaking to it. Look at Lovable and all these companies. Lovable just raised $400 million on a $13.5 billion valuation. And that's a vibe coding app for website development. But look at its usage. Look at the demand. So the notion that this thing is going to get less demand is simplistic. Anyone that does agentic AI, I saw like four hands go up in the room. Every one of you that do agentic-based AI, you know that this is the most underestimated TAM in the history of mankind. Your kids will use it. You will use it in your business. I mean, I'm involved with Warren in ABC. We had a discussion the other day. We do loans for small and medium enterprises. We have analysts that give out those loans. I had a discussion with him saying, should we go hire more analysts? You know, what could we do more with these loans and the understanding that we have with those businesses if we suddenly employed agents? Our analysts, imagine each analyst had 10 to 15 agents, and we had an agent orchestrating all those agents. We could start understanding things inside those businesses. We could not just issue a loan. We could monitor the deployment of that capital in real time for that particular SME in that vertical, give them advice in real time relative to that spend, do the accounting for them via an agentic framework, and do this the Google AdWords for them. And that could be a group of agents that we own, and we orchestrate those agents, right? That changes lending completely. So I'm just giving money. I'm truly incrementing a change in that business and a capability in that business. Okay, is that enough of an opener? Can we go to Q&A? Happy. Let's go. Let's do it.
Thank you, Stafford. Thank you.
Thank you.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth. A Mauritian trust offers a powerful solution for global estate planning. Invest better with Brenthurst.